To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Monday night. Welcome in. It's Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. We are broadcasting the show live from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. My name is Matt Pauly. Taking you till 8 o'clock tonight, we have a very, very busy program that's going to be coming up. Stan McNeil from Cardinals Magazine, he's going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. We'll get his thoughts on what we heard today from Oliver Marmol and just where the Cardinals are at today. We will do a little non-baseball stuff. Luke Korak, who covers the Blues for NHL.com and for the Hockey News, he's going to join us at about 6:35. In the next hour, you're going to hear comments from Chaim Bloom. He had a conversation in his hotel suite with the local media. I was up there for that, and we'll play back some of what he had to say during that time. And then also, we will play back some of what Oliver Marmol had to say during his media session today. So that's all going to be coming up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. If you want to join the program, multiple ways to get connected with the show. You can call or text 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can also tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching us on the video stream, feel free to leave a comment, and we can address some of those comments as we do go along. Unfortunately, it is a day where there just hasn't been that much activity. And this is nothing new to the winter meetings. We do the same thing every year. We do the exact same thing every year where we lift this thing up like there's going to be all kinds of moves and it's going to be super busy, and then nothing happens, especially on the first day. The first day does tend to be pretty slow. I found it to be interesting, though, because one of the things that I've talked about, and maybe I'm wrong on this, I think I probably am wrong based off what Chaim Bloom had to say today. One of the things I have said many times is one of the really valuable things about the winter meetings is the fact that baseball executives can get in the same room and have face-to-face conversations with each other. Like, that just, that makes sense that would speed up the proceedings, I guess you could say. Where if all the communication that you've got regarding a potential trade or a deal that you're working through, if all of that is connected to phone calls and text messages and stuff like that, if you can get everybody in the same room with each other, well, then it should hurry things up. But in talking to Chaim Bloom today, and this is what I found to be interesting, talking to Chaim Bloom today, he said that they've had very few face-to-face conversations with other baseball executives, with other teams, and that seems to be not just a Cardinals thing, but a industry thing, that they are meeting with people, that they are talking and texting with people who are here, that there are player agents and other people that might come into the suite. But for the most part, there has not been a whole lot of one-on-one communication. In fact, Chaim told a story about in one of his previous jobs where there was a big trade that was being worked on that was going to include multiple players, and they got a group of people from the team he was with, and they got a group of people from the team they were talking to, and they all got in the same room together and they talked for a while, and then just nothing came of it, and the meeting ended and there was a lot of frustration. So then meeting ends and everybody exits the suite. And one of the scouts for the team he worked for and one of the scouts for the team that they were talking to happened to be standing at the elevator together, and they just kind of continued the conversation organically. And one said, well, what if we did this? And the other said, well, what if we did this? And both said, well, I bet our bosses would go for it. Let's go back and find out. And they went back and found out, and that's how the deal ended up getting done, by just two scouts having a conversation with each other. But the point being is, when they got everybody in the same room together, they did not get anything extra done. So I found that to be an interesting story told by him today, especially in the context of what has been a very slow day. Even with it being a very slow day, and I'm not gonna like go against what I have been preaching going into these winter meetings. Because if you listen to me at all leading in this winter meetings, I said, look, even if this Cardinals roster looks exactly the same on Thursday as it does on Monday, that doesn't necessarily mean that it was a failed winter meetings. It just means that the deals that were being talked about did not cross the finish line before the winter meetings had the final whistle go off and they came to an end. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. My gut still says that at least a small thing happens before all is said and done. But I have a feeling of things are going to be happening at the winter meetings on an annual basis, and more it just seems like not a whole lot happens to be happening, and that's the way things are. All right, so here's what we've got coming up this hour. Again, we are going to be joined by our good friend Stan McNeil, senior writer with Cardinals Magazine. He's going to join us in about 5 minutes later on this hour. We will jump out of baseball for a bit. We'll talk some hockey as Luke Korak, who covers the Blues for NHL.com. And for the hockey news, he is going to join us coming up in a while. But we are mostly all baseballs. We are coming your way live from baseball's winter meetings today, and we'll continue on with the program in just a moment. Stan McNeil joins us after this, as you are listening to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to broadcast from baseball's winter meetings, and happy to welcome onto the program a friend of Sports Open Line. He's a senior writer with Cardinals Magazine. He is Stan McNeil. Stan, great to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well, Matt. How are you?
I am good. When you come here, because you were with the Sporting News for so long, what kind of memories do you have when you come to the baseball winter meetings?
Oh, man. I think the first one would probably be 2011, that Friday morning, or the last morning when Albert Pujols decided he was going west. And the Cardinals were, caught then. That's when they found out, know, it was early, and that was kind of exciting, and that was a big moment.
The winter meetings have really changed over the years. Some things have stayed exactly the same, but in many ways, things have changed. Some of the minor league stuff isn't here anymore. I mean, it's a different vibe as the years go by.
You know, this is the first time I've been in about at least 10 years, and it kind of looks the same as it did. And, I feel like I'm older than everybody here now, but but yeah, I mean, you still get a chance to talk to the managers. You still get some good access with a lot of baseball people. So we'll see how much it's changed. But it's you mean the minor league conventions is not that they
yeah,
would
they
have
don't
that?
Do that as
yeah,
much
that
anymore.
Was, that was a big part of it.
Yeah, the yeah. full job fair that you know, they used to yeah. do, they don't do that anymore. I was talking to some people today. I actually saw a couple former big leaguers in Brett Phillips and Keon Broxton. And they were both at the meet and greet where you go to try to like meet people to get jobs, and that's all. It's not even the big job fair anymore. It's just this kind of like networking
informal thing. Yeah, that makes it a little more challenging, I'm sure.
It absolutely does. We're talking after just hearing from Oliver Marmol a little while ago. He's in a really tough spot right now because the team on paper is likely to be taking a step back, but his job as a manager is to not allow expectations to lower.
Yeah, and I think they're doing, you know, the message has been strong so far, if you ask me. And I think right now it's just so early in the off season to know what the team is really going to look like. I mean, we know that it's going to be young, but I have to think that the Cardinals will acquire a few veterans before opening day to kind of supplement everybody else.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like, though, because there is such a focus on young players, but at the same time, you got to have pitching specifically. You can't go into a year with a rotation that basically doesn't have anybody in it that's gone through a full season as a starter beyond a Matthew Liberatore's out one full season.
Yeah, no, I totally agree, and that's why I say, you know, we don't really know a whole lot yet. But I mean, the one thing about it is, you know, you used to go to the winter meetings and there would be trades, there would be a lot of stuff, and that's kind of diminished as the years have gone because social media and texting and all of that. But it still doesn't make trading guys any easier. I think it's probably even more difficult now to make trades because everybody has so much information on all the players and everything. So, I take the Nolan Arenado example. I mean, everybody is saying that it's best for him to move on, but you still have to make a trade, you know, and find a place for him to go. And I just think that that's not going to be as easy as just, yeah, it's time for Nolan to go somewhere else.
Stan McNeil from Cardinals Magazine continuing to join us. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. We are in Orlando, Florida for baseball's winter meetings. Chaim Bloom's going to meet with us on an every night basis while we're here. And we saw with the Sonny Gray trade, he could have easily let that play out a little bit longer and see if he got better offers. But to me, it felt like he got an offer that he was comfortable with it, and he pulled the trigger. And that makes me wonder, could we maybe see some more activity in a shorter amount of time? Because based off just one trade, so it's a tiny sample size, but based off one trade, it seems like he's ready to pull that trigger.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And I would absolutely think that they've got all their numbers and all their dotted and T's crossed in terms of every other organization and prospects or players that they might be interested in. So if something does come up quickly, I do think Chaim is not going to, you know, if he thinks it's good, he's going to go for it. I definitely agree with that, and I think that that's going to be good for the fans.
I also think there's got to be a lot of value in they have the whole group together in a hotel room. So as they are going through these conversations with other teams, it's going to be really easy for Chaim to say to, you know, whoever, you know, Rob Serfolio or Oliver Marmol or anybody who that whole brain trust is in that room, they're all right there and they can all kind of chime in on it.
Yeah, I mean, they all have their different takes on players, I'm sure, but they're right there to talk about guys then. So that could, you know, hopefully or maybe possibly lead to quicker moves, faster moves.
What type, when you come out here, like what are you working on and what are the storylines that you're following along with?
Basically to see what the team's going to look like in spring training. You know, I mean, we're kind of in our off season as well. We've got our next issue will be coming out in January, and our cover story is going to be we're going to spend some time with J.J. Weatherholt in his hometown of Mars, Pennsylvania. So we've got that. But so I'm here kind of getting background, trying to, you know, talk to people about Chaim Bloom when he was with the Red Sox and Rays, just to get a sense of his kind of standing around the game.
I don't know how many people have spoken to yet, but anybody I ever mention Chaim's name to, I mean, it's just glowing in what people say about him. Nobody says a bad word about this guy.
You know, and the one thing that I find very interesting and encouraging is that a lot of people, or most people, will tell you that he's a people person. That's, he's a people person first. You know, relationships really matter to him. And just having been in the office with him for a year or so, you can definitely see that. He's a guy that'll talk to you, you know, anytime.
Yeah, I've noticed that just in the year before he took over, I had a handful of conversations with him. I don't think we ever talked baseball. We talked about families. We talked about everything else that was going on. And there's some people in sports and some people in this game that I don't think see the value in those type of conversations and getting to know people. And somebody asked me earlier today, like, where does that play out with Heim? And I got to think, if he is liked and respected by his colleagues, well, then it's going to be that much easier to do deals and do second and third deals with people because you're more comfortable working with somebody.
You know, that's great. And, you know, another aspect of this is the Cardinals have added, I think by opening day next year, it'll be like 24 additional coaches and staffers since the beginning of 2024, since Heim kind of started overseeing the development somewhat. And the thing is, he brought all these guys in, and a lot of times you'll get cronyism, right? Mm-hmm. You'll bring some guys that you've worked with that you know well. But talking to Matt Pierpont and Serfolio, Rob Serfolio, this is basically a group that really didn't know each other. They didn't know each other when they came together, and here a year later, they already feel very united, and I think that's impressive. You know, for a couple reasons. One, it shows that Heim knows what he's doing. They know they're hiring the right people, and the right people are coming because they respect Heim.
I don't know if he's brought in a single person from his Boston tenure.
I think there might be one from one of the latest pitching court directors might be from Boston, but there's been no one from Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, and because I asked him specifically, you're like, you haven't brought in anyone from Tampa Bay.
It's but to your point, it also shows that you know who these people are working in organizations across the way. Because I think in our interactions with people like Rob Serfolio, he just jumps off the page. He's so impressive to talk about. So to be able to go get a guy like that who you don't have a working relationship with, it's another part of this story that hopefully results in the Cardinals returning to a high level of competition.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, another part of that is you're bringing in fresh blood, basically, guys from other organizations who will have a different perspective. Because I think of the dozen or so coordinators and directors that are working in the minors now, you know, all of those guys came from different organizations themselves. So you've got about half the major leagues now working, who worked for other teams a year ago, 2 years ago, now working for the Cardinals. So that should be able to kind of get some information on players as well as the way teams operate.
Talk through, just before you get out of here, if people want to subscribe to Cardinals Magazine, if they want to get their hands on the yearbook, learn about the publications, learn about the calendar, everything, just go through what people can do.
The best way to go is just cardinals.com/magazine or /publications. You know, we've got a nice display there of the past magazines and yearbooks. Or, you know, if you want to call, 314-345-9000 is the number. But really, cardinals.com/magazine is a place to go.
Stan, great to see you. Thanks for popping on for a few minutes.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
That is Stan McNeil from Cardinals Magazine. We'll take a break. We got more in just a moment here on the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon.
Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We are continuing to broadcast live from Orlando, Florida, and baseball's winter meetings. We will jump back into baseball coming up in just a few moments. But the Blues just had themselves a pretty solid couple days of work, getting a win at Ottawa and a win at Montreal. They're back at home tomorrow evening when they play host to Boston. But this is as about positive as we can be about the Blues in a while. And with that, very happy to welcome on to the program. You read him at NHL.com, also in the hockey news. He is Lou Korak. You follow him on Twitter at LKorak10. Lou, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm good, Matt, but that's not cool that you're letting me know that you're in Florida.
I'm sorry. No, if it makes you feel any better, it has done nothing but rain since I've gotten here.
Yeah, but you know what? It's not 20, 25 degrees either, so I would gladly trade places with you any day right now.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, it's 64 degrees right now here in Orlando, so I can't argue that one. The road trip started as a challenge for the Blues. They played kind of a non-competitive game at Boston, losing 5-2. And again, we heard the same old stuff coming out of the locker room afterwards of not, you know, playing hard enough, yada, yada, yada. It's only two games, and I know this team does this thing where they do, like, little bumps, but those were much better efforts on Saturday and Sunday against Ottawa and Montreal, respectively.
Well, you needed them, and I think it starts with the goaltending. Obviously, you saw what Joel Hofer was able to do on Saturday with, you know, facing 42 shots. He came up large, really, really big in that game, especially considering he had to kill 7 penalties in that game and 4 of them in the first period. So you got to give the PK group obviously their kudos on that as well. You know, you're able to scrape out the win there, but then to back it up again and go back-to-back, that's back-to-back weekends that you're able, if you can follow me here, that's back-to-back weekends, you win back-to-back games, because they also did it a week ago when they played Ottawa and Utah coming out of Christmas. They were able to string together consecutive wins there. But now comes that time to, try to put together 3 in a row. They remember how long it took them to do that last year. They were the last team in the league to string together 3 wins in a row. And then obviously we know they took off after the Four Nations break. But chance to once again put together a 3-game winning streak. You're going to play 5 out of your next 6 starting at home tomorrow night against Boston. You got to start banking some home wins here, Matt. I mean, because quite frankly, on home ice, they just haven't been good enough. You got to, if you're going to stay in this, and right now, you know, as diluted as things are, you know, you're 11-12-7, but you're only 2 points sitting out of a playoff spot. You got to start to string together some wins at home here.
Yeah, that was the next thing I was saying to you. I mean, you mentioned it. They've got 29 points right now. The final playoff teams are Edmonton and Utah, and then San Jose is the first team out. Austin at 31. So they're 2 points out. We've been saying it all along that if they can find a run, they hadn't buried themselves, and now it is still very, very clear that they're right there. They could be 2 days away from being in a playoff position.
Well, you know what, Matt? I was looking at the Western Conference. I don't even consider, and Nashville's at the bottom with 24. I don't even consider them out of it. That's when I was talking about how things are so diluted, and that's because you've got so many of these 3-point games, and that's really what's keeping everybody in it. That's kind of what really makes it difficult to say if teams want to start moving players now. or even before the trade deadline, it's kind of difficult to do it because GMs tend to sit back and go, well, you know what? We're still kind of in this thing. So I think that's why, you know, I know the panic wagon started, riding down the highway around here a long time ago, just because, you know, this was a team that was the last team in the league to get to double digits in wins. And now you're at 11, 12 and 7. But with there being so many 3-point games, the Blues have been able to pick up, you know, you can look at a glass half empty or half full. They have points now in 18 of their 30 games, or you look at it the other way. Well, they only have 11 wins out of 30. So how do you look at it? It's right now, it's kind of a wait and see thing. But again, you got to start winning some games here at home, because if you can't win on home ice, quite frankly, to me, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. And they just have not been good enough at Enterprise Center yet this year.
When Jordan Kyrou got injured, it looked like it could be very bad. The more recent wording has been that it's more of a day-to-day situation. What's your gut feeling on what that's going to mean for Kyrou here moving forward?
Well, Jim Montgomery sounded a little more optimistic than maybe anticipated. But you know what? I think he wanted to err on the side of caution, just because, you know, they wanted to get an MRI just to get a better look. And he was initially seeming to think maybe in the week to 10-day range, that would be on the good side of it, because, you know, when you're looking at the hit, it looked like he was clutching at his knee or around his knee area, and you always hate to see that. And it happened early in the game, and they didn't waste any time to, once he went back to the locker room, they didn't waste any time to announce that he was going to be out for the rest of the game. But you know what, Matt, I'll tell you what it tends to do, it tends to galvanize a group. It really does. When the Blues have had these situations where multiple guys have gone down, right now you've got Kyrou down, you've got Toropchenko out, you've got Jimmy Snuggerud out, you've got Nathan Walker out. It's almost like a wounded animal, because nobody's going to feel sorry for you. You're kind of backed into a corner. Well, who's the only one that's going to get you out of that corner is your group. And I think that's kind of what you saw in the last 2 days. Everybody was like, you know, it's been a struggle to score goals, and two of our top guys that you're counting on for offense with Kyrou and Snuggerud are out of the lineup. So everybody just kind of has to pull a little bit of the extra rope together. And I think you were able to see that. You saw the good games that Braden Schenn and Dylan Holloway had last night in Montreal, each with 3 points, and that's Schenn's first 3-point game in over 2 years. So you had the right guy step up. I think that's going to have to be the situation here moving forward. You've had guys at the top end of your lineup that just haven't been able to produce. Those are going to be the guys that are going to have to pull more of the weight, but it's going to have to be a little bit of everybody.
They did make a small roster move today, announcing that they've recalled forward Hugh McGing from their AHL affiliate in Springfield. 18 games this year for the Thunderbirds, 6 points, 4 goals, 2 assists, and 25 penalty minutes. Anything to be made about another young guy who might be given a bit of an opportunity here?
Well, he's been up here before, and I just think it's one of those situations where they know they're going to be without Kyrou. Just get an extra forward in here, because you've already got Matt Luff in the lineup, who played his first NHL game in over 2 years since he played with Detroit back in 2023, and you've already got Kaskamaki in the lineup right now. And you know, for the time being, it looks like those guys are going to be in the lineup right now. It's just one of those cases where maybe McGing does get in the lineup. He has played in an NHL regular season game before. I know for a fact he played one in Chicago a couple of years ago under Craig Berube when the Blues had some injury issues. So this isn't anything new to him, but I think it's just more for the case of having that extra body here just in case somebody else does go down. Because with teams playing so many games right now, starting Thursday, last Thursday, the Blues are heading into Christmas playing 11 games in 19 days. Jim Montgomery even mentioned that. That's when injuries tend to start happening quite a bit, not just for the Blues, but for everybody, is when you're playing so many games in such a short span of time.
We'll let you go on this one. What were your thoughts on that fourth line with Luff and Kaskamaki in there being centered by Oscar Sundquist? What did you think from those guys?
Well, you're not going to get what you got from them when you have Toropchenko and Walker in the lineup, because those guys with Sundquist and whether it's Matthew Joseph down there, those guys were starting to forge an identity together. And like Jim Montgomery had mentioned, I even asked him, what are you missing with those guys out of the lineup, and what do you need from that line now moving forward with those two pieces out? And he basically said those are two guys that tend to maybe intimidate a little bit the opposition when they see them on the ice, because these guys play with a physical edge. They like to forecheck, and now you're putting other guys in that maybe have a little bit of a different style of a game. I just think that all they have to do is just basically do their job. And I think they did that last night. Actually, their Corsi ratings weren't all that bad. I think they were even across the board. So it's just one game, but they're going to get in that 10-minute range of playing together. It's just a matter of getting some reps together and seeing if these guys are going to be able to keep this team afloat until they get some of these injured guys back in the lineup.
Luke Korek does a great job covering the Blues for NHL.com, also the Hockey News. Follow him on Twitter at LKorek10. Lou, we always appreciate taking a few moments with us. Thanks so much. If we don't talk to you before Christmas, have a very Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon after.
Same to you, Matt. Have a good time down there in Florida.
Awesome. Very good. That is Luke Korek joining us.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it as we continue to broadcast from Orlando and baseball's winter meetings. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line. A reminder for you coming up in a little bit more than an hour, we've got the Jack Buck Awards, as that's coming up tonight. Always a great thing. Last year, the winter meetings and the Jack Buck Awards were in different weeks, so I was able to be there for a little bit and bummed out the way the schedule worked this year that I happened to be out of town for the winter meetings. But nonetheless, we will have the Jack Buck Awards. That is going to begin our coverage immediately following the 8 o'clock news, so you'll definitely want to be tuned in. All kinds of wonderful individuals being honored today, and including the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, so you'll want to be tuned in for that. You know, it was interesting. I wasn't planning on talking about this, and I hope to have him on at some point. I think I mentioned this today when I was talking on the Dave Glover show. But if you remember former big leaguer Brett Phillips, he was most known for a walk-off hit with the Rays in the World Series, and really good guy. And I was talking – he was here today. He's looking to try to, find a job in baseball. You see a lot of former ball players here looking for jobs. You know, that's something that was it 2 years ago that Matt Adams was here doing that, and he was able to get a job, and I saw him walking by today. We'll try to talk to him maybe at some point before the few days does wrap up. But I was talking to Brett Phillips today because he was with the Brewers when I was doing Brewer stuff, and I had reminded him of that, and I told him, within St. Louis now and doing Cardinal stuff. And the first thing he said to me was, have you ever gone to the Stan Musial Awards? Because he was honored at the Stan Musial Awards, and he said of every thing like that he's ever gone to in his life, it's one of the most impactful, remarkable type things. He said you can't go to that event and not just be completely and totally inspired moving forward. I thought that was cool. So for a guy who has no connections to the city of St. Louis, and we have so many great events like that in St. Louis. Obviously tonight with the Jack Buck Awards and the Musial Awards and the Herman Trophy with for the top soccer players in college soccer. Just so many really, really cool things that we have in our community. And I'm glad that from a sports standpoint we stand out the way that we do. And it certainly shows for sure. Speaking of soccer, by the way, we did get word. I want to make sure that I can say this. Yeah, I believe we can. I believe we can say this. I don't think this is under any sort of embargo or anything. Big congratulations going out to the St. Louis University men's soccer team. They are headed to the College Cup, which is college soccer. That's what they call their Final Four. And we are going to broadcast for you their run through the College Cup starting on Friday night. They are going to match up against North Carolina State. Nate Gatter, who you heard on the SEC Championship game for Westwood One Sports, he's going to handle the play-by-play. So that's going to, we're going to have that coming up on Friday when they are going to match up against NC State. Pregame is going to start at 7 o'clock, and that's going to be, if they can win, they would then play in the soccer championship game on Monday night, and it would be awesome if that can happen. So we are certainly hoping for SLU Soccer to continue to do their thing, as it's been a really, really remarkable run for them here so far. All right, here's what we've still got coming up on the program before we get out of here this evening. Next hour, it's going to be a lot of... it's going to be a lot of audio. Also, I promised you that I was going to respond to some of the comments that we got, and we didn't get to it right here. We'll try to do that coming up at the start of next hour before we get into Heim Bloom. If it's not, then we'll try to do it in that segment after we hear from Heim Bloom. But we'll hear a little bit of what Heim Bloom had to say during his talk with the media. We'll do that coming up just after the 7 o'clock news. And then also we are going to hear Oliver Marmol. So the president of baseball operations, Bloom, he will speak every day of the winter meeting. So we'll go up to his suite, and we'll sit down with him, and we'll meet with him, and it'll be good. We already did that tonight, and we'll do that for the next two nights as well. As far as the manager availability, he has just one, so we talked to Ollie today, and that's going to be, barring something happening that would require us to hear from the manager, that is going to be the one time that we hear from him. So we'll play back for you much of what he had to say, and we'll do that coming up in just a little while. Again, you are locked into a Graybar Sports Open Line. We will take a break, and we are going to come back with more coming up in just a moment or so. Again, Heim Bloom, Oliver Marmol, audio from the baseball winter meetings, audio you're not going to hear anywhere else. It's on the way next right here on KMOX.
That 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are back at it as we come your way from Orlando. Baseball's winter meetings that do roll on. Day number one just about wrapped up. There's still some people walking around. There's some evening functions that that are going on. We're kind of like right in the main pathway, so anybody who wants to go anywhere pretty much has to walk by us, so you never really know who you're going to see walking by. This is what we've got this hour. We're going to hear a little bit from Hein Bloom in just a moment or so. Then we'll take some time and respond to some of your text and some of your video comments that have come in, and then later in the hour we'll hear from Oliver Marmol. So a lot of audio that you're not going to be able to hear anywhere else because no other radio station in St. Louis has anybody covering the baseball winter meetings. We will bring that to you. So let's go ahead and start with Hein Bloom and some of the things that he said. And the way this works with Hein, and it was the same way with former president of baseball operations John Mozeliak, is that they meet with the media on an every night basis up in their suite. And most teams do some version of this, but not every team does. I was talking with somebody today, for example, who said the Atlanta Braves did a Zoom session, I believe, last night with their president of baseball operations, and then that's it. Unless a move is made, they're not going to talk to him again. So really appreciate the Cardinals and their access and the fact that Hein is continuing what Mo had done before him, and that's just being able to sit down and have a good baseball conversation on an every night basis as the baseball winter meetings roll on. So one of the things that Hein talked about today was when it comes to starting pitching and having starting pitching depth. And last season, the Cardinals did not have a starting pitcher miss a start, which is unheard of. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Most of us are likely to never see that happen again in our lives. That is how rare it is for a team to go through the season and not have a player miss time due to injury from the starting rotation. Now, the one thing the Cardinals did have going for them in that is they didn't have a whole lot of hard throwers in the rotation. And the numbers are pretty clear that you are more at risk of being injured if you throw hard than if you don't throw hard. So while you still give the Cardinals all the credit in the world for nursing a team through a year where starting pitching never got injured, they were buoyed by the fact that they didn't have a whole lot of hard throwers in it, so that probably helped out just a bit. So all that being said, as they attempt to continue to move forward in the same way of having a very healthy starting rotation, but while they also want to add more velocity to the rotation, how do those things end up working out together?
Hopefully it's not just a straight correlation, right? Hopefully there are things we can do in terms of identifying guys who are built to last, and when we develop our own pitchers, building them in a way that allows them to withstand some of the forces that they create in doing those things. But there's no question, you know, the physics of it are real. Like, some of the things that go into bringing that kind of stuff to the party that can beat hitters in the zone and get hitters out, you are playing with fire a little bit. You know, I'm not telling you anything that isn't identifiable just when you look at it. Our job as an organization, as a team, whether that's our folks on the skill side wearing baseball pants or folks on the medical and performance side, is to work together to try to bend that curve as much as possible so that we can still get to that top-end stuff, but get to it in a way that keeps guys healthy.
All right, so there's been a lot of talk for the Cardinals, obviously, about the players who could get traded. And there seems to be a lot of smoke connected to Brendan Donovan, JoJo Romero, and I think Wilson Contreras. Beyond that, there's other Nolan Gorman could get moved, Lars Nootbaar could get moved. There's a bunch of other guys that could get moved, but clearly at some point some trades are going to happen. As we go through this time period where these guys do remain Cardinals, Hein talked a little bit about the communication that he has with players in the offseason. Both players might get moved and also players who might be sticking around.
Definitely the last part would definitely answer their questions. I want our guys to know, and I think I've expressed this to pretty much every one of them I talked to, like, they can pick up the phone and call me whenever. When it's in season, they can walk up to me and ask me whatever. I think open communication is almost always a positive, so I try to encourage as much of it as possible. I'm aware that when you sit in this seat and your phone number pops up on a player's phone in the off season, their heart may skip a beat when they see that call. So, but nonetheless, like, I think it is important at times just to check in with these guys. when I do that, I always start the conversation by telling them, hey, I'm just calling to check in.
So one player that pretty much every Cardinals fan is excited about is J.J. Weatherholt, and rightfully so. He is somebody who jumps out as being someone who can really be a special player and be a big-time player moving forward. A lot of folks are looking at him as being almost handed a job on the opening day roster to start 2026, but for Chaim Bloom, that is certainly not the case.
I would say we're really excited to see him come into camp and continue showing us what he can do. Yeah. And for me, it's mainly just that as we go through the winter and as we come into spring, like, I don't want to put any limits on what he can do. Surely there are things you could look at and say he could continue to improve here or there. That's going to be the case, and we'll obviously continue to talk about those things, keep an eye on what he shows us during the spring. I'm not talking about results or his stat line, just, you know, everything that goes into it. And certainly wouldn't put any limitations on him, whether as it relates to opening day or thereafter, but that's all in the future for him. You know, I don't think it makes sense, and frankly, I don't think it's really fair to anybody else just to hand JJ anything, and I think he knows that. I don't think he would expect anything different.
So JJ's got to earn everything, and look, I think he probably will. I think what we saw from him in spring last year, then going into the regular season and the year he put together, I don't think he has to be a guy that just has the best numbers of any player in spring. But if he has a respectable spring, I think we can all assume that he's going to be on the big league roster to start the year and be an everyday guy. But if he really, really struggles in spring, is there a scenario where he finds himself at Memphis to start the season? I don't think that's overly probable, but I do think it is possible as well. All right, we mentioned all the players that could get moved. And we saw Sonny Gray get traded early on in this process, and something that Gray was very happy about in that whole deal was the fact that it happened early enough that he was able, because there's a lot of logistical type things that go along with all of a sudden you're playing for a new team. So Bloom was asked about that, just about the idea of trying to get deals done sooner than later, if nothing else, to help out the players as people.
I think with most guys, and I don't want to put words in Nolan's mouth, but I think this would be the same with him. If there's going to be a change to the scenery, the sooner it happens, the easier it is. And I'm guessing that's what you're alluding to with Sonny.
Yeah, he talked about
just on a practical level. Right. Your family, just preparing, really getting your arms around a new workplace, new organization. So I don't think that'd be different for most players. I don't think there's a point in time, just knowing what I know about how last spring played out, I don't think there's a point in time where Nolan would be closed off to a change. But you know, I think any of us in that circumstance would rather know what's going to be sooner rather than later.
And then the final thing from him, and this might not be what everybody wants to hear because everybody wants to see moves that get made. While Bloom did not have any update on those moves being made, he said he's going to continue to work late and going to continue to talk with people throughout the course of the meetings.
And you said how the day is gone. It's not over. You know, we work late in this event, so you never know. Like in this environment, obviously the phone's ringing mostly around the clock. I think I'm a little smarter. I like to think that when I earlier in my career, where at some point you're like, what are we doing? Let's just go to bed.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
We're all still going to be in this hotel tomorrow.
That's right.
But that being said, you know, the day is not ended, but that's not a teaser for anything. Like, there isn't any news at this point.
So that is Chaim Bloom, part of what he had to say today. Again, he met with the media inside of his suite. We did get a message asking whether or not any media people are able to walk into the meetings and ask questions, or if you have to, as Deadly refers to, be a preferred vendor. You do have to get approved for a press credential. You have to be part of a legitimate media outlet, and they're not everybody does get approved for a credential. And then there are some individual things, like for the Oliver Marmol thing today, anybody who has a credential was able to walk in there and ask questions of him. For the get-togethers with Chaim Bloom and his suite, that is generally held to just members of the local media. So the people who are who cover the Cardinals and are here covering the Cardinals and Cardinals-related things, they are the ones who get in there. But there is a credentialing process, and I know not everybody does get their credentials approved. But everybody, for the most part, who is from a legitimate media outlet and also does the job in a respectable kind of way, I think they're going to be here. And there certainly is a lot of media here, and it's good to be able to be here talking with folks. All right, we'll go through some more comments and questions in our next segment, and then we'll hear from Oliver Marmol more towards the bottom of the hour. We'll continue on. We're back with more in just a moment, live from baseball's winter meetings. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are taking you until 8 o'clock this evening, and we will be with you throughout the duration of baseball's winter meetings, doing Rush Hour Sports Live 5 to 6, and then Sports Open Line from 6 to 8. So make sure to be with us. Plus, I'm popping on Chris and Amy and Glover and Gas House Gang all over the place. So we're doing that every single day. So if you want baseball winter meetings coverage, you've got it right here on KMOX. Now, it would be nice if we actually had something real to talk about. We don't. No moves have been made for the Cardinals. Really nothing of significance happening in Major League Baseball. Aaron sends in a message, says the Cardinals should have had the possibility of three moves today, but they just sat on their hands, all talk, no action. And then went on to say earlier, less talk, more action from Heim. Look, I guess my question to you, Aaron, if we were having a back-and-forth conversation, why would it matter if a deal got done on the first day of the winter meetings as compared to the second day of the winter meetings or the third day of the winter meetings or the final week of December or the first month of January or first week of January or the first week of February? Like, as long as these things happen this off season, it doesn't really matter on the timing of it. So I don't... That's where I'm a little bit confused by your message and your, like, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I sense at the least a lot of frustration, at the most a fair amount of anger that this hasn't happened. Well, you want Heim Bloom to go out there and make a bad deal just so you can see a deal get made? Like, the market's not moving. Now, if there were trades going right, left all over the place and the Cardinals were not doing anything, I think at that point it's okay to have the conversation about are they missing out on some opportunities here. But we're not seeing the market move like that. So no, I'm not going to sit here and tell Heim Bloom that he needs to go out and just make moves to make moves. I'm going to sit here and trust a guy that has, I think, a solid track record, and I think that track record is going to build during his time with the Cardinals. I'm going to trust him to make the right move. And oh yeah, by the way, that Sonny Gray move, that was done really early on in this offseason. Very early on. He if he was somebody who didn't want to make moves, he could have sat for a while and just seen how the market developed beyond that. But he got it to a point that he got it to a point where he was comfortable with the return, so he did it. So that's where I'm at. I understand wanting to see moves because we make so much of the baseball winter meetings, and maybe that's us in the media making something. Because I said it earlier, like Heim said today, that he really hasn't had any conversations face to face with other teams. He's had conversations with other teams, but it's not going to a suite or anything like that. So far what he's done in terms of other teams, well, what he's done, you could probably do sitting in St. Louis. And that doesn't mean get rid of the winter meetings, because the winter meetings have much more significance to the industry beyond just presidents of baseball operations talking about potential trades. All the various aspects of the baseball business are certainly represented here, and all that is going on. So yeah, I would, if you're really frustrated that a move was not made on the first day of the winter meetings, I would just tell you, slow your roll a little bit. it's going to be okay. Steve sends in a text message, says, could you give a description of how general managers talk to each other? Is it a large room with multiple tables? Do they walk around and talk to each other? Do they make appointments with each other during sessions, or is it just after hours conversations? Yeah, really, these guys stay in their suites for the most part. And when there are conversations to be had, they will send, teams will send representatives to other team suites, and they'll go through that. But no, it's nothing that's sitting there is, it's not as formal as you would describe it to be. It's informal, and there's other things that are going on. Like I said, I think Hyman mentioned that there was some sort of affiliate event that he was going to go to tonight. I know Major League Baseball puts on dinners and events and things on a nightly basis, so there's always stuff. So it's not like they never leave their suite, but for the most part, they're in their suite, and it's the whole team of people that are up there, and they are talking through things and going through that. One of the things that we talked about this during Rush Hour Sports, but we can revisit it here for a moment. So when Bloom was introduced officially as the president of baseball operations, he was asked, is there any chance that you would just release a Nolan Arenado? And at that point, it was Bloom said, no, that is not a possibility. That's not something they're going to do. One of the national baseball people went on social media and it indicated that that was a possibility. Not quite sure why that individual made the decision to say that, but they did. So the question was asked again. It was almost asked in a kind of joking, tongue-in-cheek manner today. Do you still stand by this? And Bloom did. But we got a text message from the 636 that said the Cardinals should consider a buyout of Arenado, which would allow him to negotiate to his next team, pay him and his contract and his dues minus his expected salary for the next 2 years. Sal said that. Well, first off, you don't know what the expected salary is going to be. Like, that's just, this is not like an Anthony Rendon situation where he's going to buy out his contract. And all that's happening there with the Rendon situation, if it does go down, the only thing that's going to happen when they buy out that contract is they're going to spread some money out over years instead of him being owed right away, as they're going to find a way to just create a little bit of extra room for themselves. So, no, letting go of Arenado, buying out a contract, doing anything like that, that's not something that's going to be on the table for this team for sure. And they're going to get the deal done. They'll get a deal done at some point in time, right? It's going to happen. That one, I think, is going to be a little bit later. Is there a possibility that it doesn't get done? I mean, I guess do we just want to take the audio from the winter meetings last year and play it again when it comes to Nolan Arenado? Because I was very convinced that he was going to get moved last offseason and ended up not happening. And we know about the Houston situation and how he was so close to being moved to Houston before he turned down that deal. So I guess we always leave open the possibility that an Arenado could be back, but I don't think that behooves anybody at this point. If you're an Arenado, you want to go somewhere where you're going to have the opportunity to win at a higher level than what the Cardinals are likely to win at this year. And if you're the Cardinals, you want to be able to take a look at some other guys and put somebody else, a younger guy, in position. You know, give Nolan Gorman an honest run at third base, assuming Gorman's still on the team. If Gorman is not on the team, then you've got some other things and some other options you're going to do. So, It makes all the sense in the world, as much as so many people love Nolan Arenado, and rightfully so, because he's been a really good Cardinal, he's been a really good big leaguer. There's very few guys that I have enjoyed watching baseball, play baseball, as much as I've watched Arenado. It's been a treat. His time with the Cardinals has come to a point where it's time to move on. We were probably at this point last year. He did not have an especially good year this past year, and now we'll see where he ends up. I think he gets moved. I just think it's going to take a little while because the rest of the third base market is likely going to have to play out a little bit before you're going to get the opportunity to get a team that's going to be really, really interested in Arenado. And even once you get to that point, you're going to have to pick up a whole bunch of salary to be able to make that happen. All right, we will take a break, and when we return, we're going to hear from Oliver Marmol. So we heard from Heim Bloom earlier in the show. Up next, we will hear from Oliver Marmol, his thoughts on this offseason, his thoughts on where the Cardinals go from here. That's all going to be coming up in just a moment. Don't forget the Jack Buck Awards. Live coverage begins after the 8 o'clock news. Don't go anywhere. This is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. We continue to give your way from Orlando, Florida, and baseball's winter meetings. Time to listen in to some of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say. He met with the media earlier today here in Orlando, and something that he has talked about a lot is the expectations that he will have for a club. And it doesn't really, he talked about last year as players were being traded away. As the roster changes, and even as you and me and most other people can look at the roster and say, maybe this thing isn't ready to go and not ready to win at a high level. For Ollie, it's very clear that he is going to continue to have high expectations for his team, even with the roster moves that might present him with a roster that's hard to win with at a high level.
He's been clear about that, and he stated it well when he said, we're not conceding anything in the immediate, but we will make decisions that impact the future more so than just right now. And I love the mentality, because you can't lower the standard. If anything, that's something that has to be really on point of continuing to keep a very high standard. But having the right people in the room, not only staff, but players that want to wake up and contribute to that standard and that culture every single day. So I think Heim's communicated it extremely well, that there's a sense of urgency to all of this. And the better we are at our jobs, the quicker we turn this thing around.
And he got into that a little bit more, kind of talked about that push-pull of wanting to win and desiring to win and having the expectations of winning while having a roster that might not be quite ready to win.
It is a good balance, and the one thing you can't do is get frustrated with progress as you're trying to get to where you show up every day and you know you're going to win. And there's a progression to that. Our staff have all been in player dev and understand what that looks like and are passionate about that. So, yeah, there's an urgency to win, and there's a standard that we'll keep. But at the same time, you can't get frustrated if you're not getting the immediate results that you're looking for out of certain young guys. You got to stay head down and make sure that they feel supported. They understand what this looks like as well. So there is a balance to that.
Part of getting to that point of competing at a high level once again is players being a better version of themselves. And that is something that I think the organization has struggled with, maximizing talent of their own players coming up. And he feels like as the organization has gone through a change, that they are doing a much better job of being able to help players, again, become that best version of themselves.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things that you look at the different process that has been put into the minor league system and adding some manpower there, adding manpower at the big league level as well. So there's things that go with that. It doesn't change a ton, other than there's a lot more conversations based on a lot of moving parts and what does it look like in each one of those scenarios. So, but again, he's done a really nice job of not only communicating with me, but with our staff and our players, so that there's clarity all the way throughout.
As we start to look at the roster and start to look at what this team might look like as we get into spring, there are still a whole lot of question marks, and some of them, really the positions of where somebody's going to play is very dependent upon what ends up happening in terms of these trades.
They still have to happen, right? So there's a lot of, to your point, moving parts, and how this all plays out will dictate a lot of that. I think the most important thing you can do during this time is communicate clearly and over-communicate, and with the staff, but also with the players. And Heim has done a nice job of reaching out to certain guys and making sure that there's clarity to that, and they understand what we're trying to do and what some of the possibilities are. As a staff, you prepare for all of it. So as we get closer and we start to kind of really understand what it looks like, it'll help.
And there's the human side of things as well. When you think about players who are on the trading block, and Ollie spoke a little bit about how you handle those players whose names are out there in the rumor mill.
they want to make sure that they're communicated with and they're cared for. I mean, just like anybody else, take this industry aside, like that's what you want. You want to make sure that people are, you've done life with them for several years, and they want to make sure they're cared for and that they're communicated with, and that's the easy thing to do. So even in talking to Donnie yesterday, man, his head's in a really good spot. He's preparing extremely well. He feels good about where he's at, and he's handling, I mean, there's a ton of noise around him. Is he going to be with us? Is he going somewhere else? He's handling that really well. He's a pro about it. Those conversations have gone really well.
We've already seen the Cardinals trade away Sonny Gray. Miles Michaelis is not with the team anymore after his contract expired at the end of last season. There's been talk about eventually adding a veteran starting pitcher. Marmol gave his thoughts on whether or not it would be good to bring in somebody a little bit older to go with what is a pretty young group.
A couple different ways to look at that. Heim's been clear about wanting to add another one, and who that is and what that looks like, and kind of the resume that comes with that is an unknown at the moment. But what you try to do in the immediate is have conversations with the Liberators and the McGreevies and allow them to take that next step in their careers, not asking them to do more than they need to, but what it looks like to look to more than just outside of yourself and make sure that others around you are getting better. And both of those guys have the capacity to do that. So you're just continue to kind of build those type of qualities and challenge guys in that direction.
Speaking of pitching, there were a few guys last year that certainly took steps forward and started to show the organization what they could do and all of that. One of those guys who really stepped forward in a big way was Matt Svensson, and Ollie was very impressed with what he was able to do in his first season.
First word that comes to mind is just confidence. This is a kid, like, he truly believes in his stuff. He's coachable, but he's also very confident in what he's bringing to the table. He's put into some situations that were challenging, and he never wavered. Like, he took the ball, the game didn't speed up on him, and it was impressive to be able to do that first time up at the big league level. So a lot of it is just his overall demeanor of closing games in the past and being able to take the ball in high leverage and still deliver, yeah.
All right, let's jump to the position player side of things, and there's probably no player that I get asked questions about more often than anybody other than J.J. Weatherholt, and he is somebody who's going to come in with every opportunity in the world to win a starting spot and win a spot on the opening day roster. And Marmol pretty much echoed what a lot of people are saying, just the level of excitement that he has for J.J. Weatherholt.
I'll go back to our first real look at him in spring, and it was extremely impressive. Obviously, the skill set's there, the bat's there, what he does on the field, but the way he carries himself and his mentality, his preparation, his ability to take criticism, kind of implement the things you talk about into practice and then into a game is pretty high, especially for his age. But he was able to, there's like a quiet confidence to him that's impressive, and he was able to slow the game down. For being up there for the first time and wanting to impress, he was able to slow the game down extremely well. So those are the things that stand out to me, even more so than his skill set. But you combine that with his skill set, it's easy to get excited.
In the outfield, we'll see what it ends up looking like. It doesn't really feel like anything is guaranteed. You would think Alec Burleson would play out there a lot if Wilson Contreras is still around. But if Wilson Contreras isn't around, well, at that point you might see Burleson play more at first. Doesn't feel like anything's guaranteed for Jordan Walker. If Lars Nootbaar is on the team and healthy, you would assume that he would have an everyday job. But there's just a lot up in the air. And we didn't even mention the center field spot with Victor Scott II, who played really, really high-level defense this past season, but offensively left a lot to be desired. All that being said, Marmol says he wants Scott to feel like that center field job is his.
I do want him coming in with that mentality. Absolutely, man. This is a guy that has, can't remember who I was talking to this morning. It might have been AJ Brzezinski, but there's a, you look at his year offensively, and it left you wanting more, but there was a ton of growth in Victor and understanding what it takes to have success at the big league level, what preparation truly looks like, how pitchers are game planning specifically for you and what you need to do to be able to combat that. So when you look at his year, yeah, the numbers aren't what you want him to be, but you look at the growth in his preparation and where this is headed, and it's one of the guys I'm most excited to see this upcoming year.
There's been a lot of talk about Jordan Walker and the things he's doing this offseason, working on flexibility, trying to do things with his swing over a drive line, and then just having a bit of an attitude where he's able to take the criticism and work to get better. And that's something that Ollie spent some time talking about as well, and he's really liked hearing what he's heard so far this offseason from a Jordan Walker.
The conversations with him, if I were to put it in a nutshell, I think there's a level of maturity with Walker that is positive, where you're able to have a little bit more direct criticism and the way he's receiving that, and then being able to verbalize his side of what he's comfortable with, not comfortable with, and the adjustments needed are different than a year ago. And that's heavily needed when you're trying to make the adjustments that we're trying to make. So he's been really good about communicating with me, communicating with Brownie and Casey as well. But I would say there's a different level of maturity in how he's preparing and communicating.
Assuming Nolan Arenado gets traded, you would think, and we were having this exact same conversation last year, but assuming he gets traded, we would assume again that Nolan Gorman is going to be over at third base. But there does continue to be a handful of moving parts in this whole thing that could impact where Gorman plays on the infield. And Ollie said that Gorman needs to be ready to be able to play multiple positions.
We've been in this position. I mean, if you think of last year with Nolan and the conversations around moving him, there was that conversation of, hey, Gorman, be ready to do a combination of things, whether that's play second, play third, and that's no different. There's a lot of moving parts, and you have to prepare yourself to be able to do any and all of it. And he fits into that bucket where part of his preparation this offseason is ability to do that.
And then a final thing from Ali, gave a couple injury updates. Let's start with Ivan Herrera.
Yeah, doing plyos. He'll start actually throwing here in a few weeks. He's done a really nice job. So we've built a curriculum for him, and I give a lot of credit to our staff in GoGo, our catch coordinator, Pogi, Surf, Pierpont, Dusty. I mean, those guys all came together to put a really detailed curriculum together to give him the best chance to go into this spring training with a lot of confidence when it comes to game calling and the why behind everything he does behind the plate. So he's working at it. He is passionate about it. He's bought in, and he'll have the best opportunity to show what he's got back there.
And then somebody who we had mentioned previously in Lars Nootbaar, who it's still a process for him as he continues to try to get ready for the season, a season he might not quite be ready for.
Out of the boot, and kind of, it'll be a long process, but yeah, he's doing well, recovering well.
That is Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol speaking with the media earlier today. We will take a break. We will come back and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. We are broadcasting from Orlando in baseball's winter meetings. Back with more in just a moment here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
We are starting to wrap things up on this edition of the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are at baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. Certainly a fun show today. We appreciate everybody we've been able to talk to. And not only are we collecting interviews that run on this show, but we are also collecting interviews that are going to run on the Countdown to Opening Day show both this Thursday, and we'll also hold some stuff over for some future shows as well. But Mike Claiborne will be with me on Thursday night for our first edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show, and we are certainly looking forward to being able to bring that to you every Thursday night, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, right here on KMOX. Some of the things that are going to be taking place tomorrow here at the winter meetings, tomorrow will be the World Baseball Classic Media Day, which is going to be an opportunity for general managers and managers for the various WBC teams to meet with the media. We'll see who we can talk to. A few years ago when they did this, we got the chance to talk with Mark DeRosa, who the former Cardinal manages the United States team. Also, Albert Pujols. He is set to manage the team from the Dominican Republic. He is going to be part of this as well. So we'll see who we're able to talk to. But that's going to be fun. And again, it's a WBC year, which does change things. I'll be interested to see also in spring training what maybe the Cardinals do differently, if there is anything to do differently. Probably have to wait and see who's going to be participating in the WBC. 3 years ago, the Cardinals had a ton of guys in the World Baseball Classic, and they felt like that ended up impacting the way they started out the season. They won't have as many players this year, although they will have some, both for the U.S. team, you would think, and also some other countries as well. So we'll just have to wait and see how that's going to play out. Also, the MLB draft lottery, it's going to be held coming up tomorrow as well. That's notable for the Cardinals, who have a 2.35% chance of having the number one selection in the draft. 2.35, so not a great possibility, but we'll see if what happened last year could happen again this year, where they end up with a real high-level pick. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow as well. The Rule 5 draft is going to be coming up on Wednesday, and Chaim Bloom's going to talk with us after the Rule 5 draft on Wednesday, so we're looking forward to that. But there's a lot of things that are going to be taking place over the next couple days. What we'd like to have take place is actual moves and actual something to be able to talk about. So far, that has not happened. We just have to wait and see if that's going to end up playing out at some point over the next few days. If it doesn't, like we've talked about a lot, just because it doesn't does not necessarily mean that it was not a productive and fruitful winter meetings. It just means that none of these deals that have been talked about got all the way across the finish line, and we'll have to wait for days or weeks to come before something ends up happening. But as mentioned, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. But just because we are done does not mean you need to go anywhere, because we have something really, really special coming up. It is the annual Jack Buck Awards. They are taking place tonight. So many individuals are being honored, including the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney. So you are not going to want to go anywhere. Our coverage of the Jack Buck Awards set to begin after the 8 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.